Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I perceive we've entered the glorious days of the last days, because the first days of the last days were, you know what, not good, and people were speculating that maybe Jesus should come very fast and take us away. But then, and some people are still doing that. But then we enter the glorious part of the last days, the part where now the church is going to experience a glory unlike any other. And it is prophesied about in the scripture nearly as much, actually as much as the days of Jesus. Just like Jesus came and walked earth, and there were all these prophecies about him, about every aspect of his life, everything he did to fulfill what was written. He went here to fulfill what was written. Now, we have entered this glorious time of the end of the church age. And the wonderful things that are going to happen are actually much as much prophesied as that in the scriptures. You see that in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some people who actually understood that and were ready to receive him, but there are not that many. A lot more people were still going about their business as usual. And as always, people learn that something was happening in their midst when it has already happened. And then they kind of wake up and say, hey, while we are here, it has happened. I was reading at how those people came to name the years BC, before Christ and after Christ. Now, when Jesus was born, nobody was thinking that 2,000 years later, people would be saying, in the year of our Lord. You understand? He was just some ordinary person who was born somewhere. But then, when Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire, around 300 and something AD, that's when now they started naming years before Christ and after Christ. But now the difference between them and us is that for us, there's not going to be any other time. We're not going to come from heaven to come and understand what was happening. So we have to understand it now, and that we have to understand what our mandate in this end time is now. And we have to live that mandate now. Praise the Lord. And we have to have a mindset that befits what the Lord is trying to do in our time. A completely different mindset from what has been. And one which is, we have to cultivate that individually, but also collectively as a church. A mindset that that prepares us for the sort of dominion that the scriptures have prophesied that the church is going to be at the end time. Praise the Lord. And now the thing is that it has to happen in our days, and it has to happen by us. Glory to God. But none of that is a mistake, because God knew that. So he knew that for you to be born in these days, he was going to use you for such a wonderful time. Amen? So he made sure you are born in the right time, for such a time as this. Glory to God. But then, because of what he went through before now, you kind of were not necessarily prepared in that manner for what there was, because, you know, everything in the worldly system, which of course we start with, prepares you for, you know, you enter the school and so on. It prepares you to be employed, to be a good employee, and to, you know, work and to earn a living, if you lack a decent living or something like that. And there's nothing that takes away from what God wants us to do, like that mindset that you're here to earn a living. Praise the Lord. You're here to be employed somehow. And if you can have a good job and have a good salary and have a good life, that somehow that is in any way going to accomplish God's purpose in your life. It is not. Now, first, he wants us to have a good life, but the purpose is bigger than that. And the purpose is eternal. Amen? And if you do not think eternal, then that changes everything. Now, if you think that you are going to be employed, what do you do? What do you do when somebody asks, what do you do? And they're asking, how do you earn a living? And maybe I'm employed in this company. I work here. I do business. All those things. What they are saying is, how do you earn money? How do you get along? How do you get by? But now we have to change that. I told you before that we have to move away from being employed to being deployed. Amen? Totally different mindset. When you are employed, when somebody is employed, it's all about themselves. Praise the Lord. It's about themselves. If I can have this job, if I can have, you know, this salary and what, and life is good, and so on. Now, but when you're deployed and you realize that you belong to a certain kingdom and you've been put there, you know, by the other kingdom, deployed there, then your mindset changes from somebody who is employed. Praise the Lord. Because employment is characterized by somebody who is employed looks to survive. The first thing that comes to their mind is survival. So that's why they even use words like there is job security. Amen? Because they are thinking survival. When I come into this job, will I still be working here after 5 years? You know, can I count on having this salary and so on? Or maybe even a better one? So they think of job security. And that is classic survival. Now, anybody who is employed thinks survival. Survival. Now, somebody who is deployed, and first of all, survival is characterized by two things. First of all, by fear. That's why people say job security. You know, how can I be secure that this is my, you know, this is my place? But then also it's characterized by compromise. So you enter a job, and the first thing you're learning, how am I going to survive in this place? And what compromises am I going to make in this place? And now, because it is your survival, it's about you. Now, when somebody gets in and they understand what it means to be deployed, they know that I'm coming here to change things, to institute certain things. It might take me a bit of time, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to bring people who are like me in this place. And you see the other people who do that, except believers. Because the other people understand dominion. The church has largely not understood dominion. So when somebody gets a big job, it's for himself. So he becomes on his own. And you see, sometimes they even lose it because God intended you to be deployed there, and yet you went and you decided to go and be employed in that place. And then he says, now we have to find somebody else who is going to do our agenda. Because let me tell you, there is none of these forces of evil that comes and somebody stations in a place and he's there just for himself. There's not one. That's why Jesus said the children of this world are wiser in their time than what? The children of the kingdom. How do you think things like homosexuality spread? Somebody comes and sits in a position, then suddenly everybody around him is homosexual. Then you, a believer, come and sit in a position and you're surrounded by total non-believers and you're okay with it. Because you've never understood dominion. All you think is, I want this salary and I can grow and do this and life is good. But now when you understand that I'm here deployed, there's something I have to do rather than just get a good life. Then you start putting things in place. And by the way, when you do that, then you see the blessing of God. And that's where you will get the security and the promotion. Because there are two things that can happen. Either you get there and you are ejected from the place. And it happens a lot. For some reason, you were supposed to do this. Let me tell you, you can never distance God from purpose. Because he thinks eternal. He cannot be brought to think here. Even when you go to him asking for a house, there has to be an eternal thing. That, you know, now I want you to go and get a house in this neighborhood because there is a lot of evil here. And when you get there, I want you to change all this evil. Like, he wants you to have the house, you want to have the house. But for him, he has to think something bigger than that. Bigger than just the house. Because he knows the house is going to end here. And all his everything he does is for eternal reasons. Amen? So you go and you get into, let's say, any business or something. And now you say, I am not going to be employed. I'm going to be deployed. So what does my deployment require me to do? How am I going to make sure that I am not ejected by the system? people who are employed consider getting a position as an accomplishment. But people who are deployed consider getting a position as an assignment. Small differences, but very big. So you go and sit in a place, you've wanted this job, you go and sit in it. Now somebody thinks, yeah, I've arrived. Another one thinks, I have an assignment. There's something God has brought me here to accomplish something. Now people who are employed would think about the here and now. People who are deployed think about eternal. Like everything is eternal. Everything is for a purpose. It's for dominion. It's for advancing a certain purpose that God has given you. And now I'll tell you this. And when you don't, there's a possibility of rejection. And God ejects people when they do not accomplish what he told them to accomplish. For instance, Saul. Saul was rejected 3 times. The first time God says, I've rejected you. But he gave him another assignment. Then he failed it. Then he says, I've rejected you. Then he gave him another one. Then he refused it and did it in his own way. Then he says, now I've rejected you. And I've chosen somebody who is better than you. And then he doesn't just say, I've chosen somebody who is better. He says, I have chosen. Now, all the kings in the Bible who were not hereditary kings, all of them came with a purpose. I am making you king to do this. So he says, I'm making David king because he's going to bring rest to my people and win all the wars and demarcate all the area that God said he was going to give Abraham. Now all the children of Israel never had all that land until under David. Now David's purpose was to come, go and fight these ones, fight the other ones, fight the other ones, fight the other ones. Now all the land God promised us is under Israel now. And that was his purpose. Then you remember, after he has done that, then he starts getting ideas of building a temple. Then God says, ah, you've killed too many people. You fought too many wars, that's what he said. So let your son do it. Now, the son comes with a totally different assignment. Although for him he was hereditary. So his kingdom was not, here is the purpose. Now, of course, what I mean hereditary is that some were king because their father was king. That's different. But others, like David, were not king because their father was king. Others like Saul were not king because the father was king. They were king because God wanted them to do something. And says, I'm giving you this position, but it's an assignment. It's not a reward. It's not an arrival. You've not arrived. I'm giving it to you for a purpose. Now, that's how an end-time believer thinks. So, he says, I want you to go and destroy Amalek. And even tells you why he wants you to go and destroy Amalek. Because they treated the children of Israel badly when they were coming out of Egypt. And I want you to go and destroy them. Destroy everything, destroy all things, and kill their king. Then Saul, being an insecure guy, goes, he destroys, but then he lets the people say, Abatan, we can't kill these animals, man, we need them. You understand that? So people start saying, ah, man, why should we kill cattle, what, you know, when we can actually go and take them? So he says, I heeded the voice of the people. Because he didn't understand he was king for this assignment. This is why you were king. This is why God made you king, for this assignment. So now you heed the voice of the people as if their popularity is what made you king. As if you won an election and they were the ones who voted for you. Nobody voted for you. You just found the prophet and said you're king for this reason. Now, he only had to do that. So Samuel comes and says, what are these animals I'm hearing bleating? Don't worry, I carried out the commandment of the Lord. I've destroyed the Amalekites. He says, what about these animals I'm hearing bleating? He says, anyway, the people decided that maybe it's not a good idea that we kill animals. But God gave a clear command. And then he says, I've rejected you. I found somebody else in your place. Praise the Lord. Now, that's unfortunately going to be bad news for some people, because I'll tell you this. There's nobody here, none, not one, not a single one, who does not have a real purpose in this end time, not one person. But then also, if you choose to behave a certain way and not get yourself out of somewhere, God will, because we have no time, he can tell you, like he did Saul, that I found somebody else. And he has been prompting you, do this, do that, do that. And somehow you're there. You're not coming alive. Then at some stage, because of the urgency of time, he says, I think now I'm going to have to pick somebody else. Because the time in which we are living, we don't have 20 years to wait for you to make up your mind. You see, there are some people who are addicted to indecision. it's actually a stronghold in their lives. They never make their mind up on anything and move. I've decided this, I'm going. No, they never. They somehow stay around the area of decision. Okay? And it's by the way one of the worst things that anybody can have. You'd rather make wrong decisions consistently than being around that area of no decisions. So a young man, a mboko, then you say, I think I married this one, over this one, over the other one, over this one. Then 5 years, you're still considering. Then you're a fool. You see, eh? You're a fool, like you're stupid. You deserve chiboko. Make up your mind and move. Amen? Eh. Or even ladies, you know, it's very like, now women, they don't know that is, so they go and, you know, so likes me, but also Jack likes me, also Ruego likes me, over what? Not this Ruego, this one is married. You know, eh? So you be there, then you enjoy the attention, and you're stupid. And then you know what happens? You wake up one day and all of them have gone. Then you call Ruego, who was benching you, sending you text messages. He's moved on. He's on other things. Then you call the other, and you call the other, and you missed your season. Praise the Lord. Do you know how many times those things happen to people? And they miss their seasons. Now also here, now we are, that was just, you know, a little thing on the side. But now we are going back to end time. Praise the Lord. Now, even here, you can be there. God is prompting you to do something. And you don't feel necessarily you have the ability, but he's prompting you. And it is not him, it's not you that's going to do it, it's him. And somehow you feel, I can decide next year or the year after. You know, I'm scared. And then you be there. The next thing, the prompting start reducing. Ultimately, they vanish. The next thing you know, somebody else is doing exactly what we are being prompted to do. It could even be a business. Praise the Lord. Because there was a need and God says, you go and do this business. You know, there's a guy who wrote and said that, he said that God told him to write a book on some subject, write a book on this subject. Then the guy came up with, you know, he's busy, I'm doing this and that and that. Then God told him, you know what, you are not even my first choice. The first choice played those games. I went to the second. You were third choice. If you did it that, I will go to the fourth choice. Okay? Now then he wrote the book and it became a bestseller. And God is saying, write it. And if you don't do it, I will move on. Okay, not that God doesn't understand, you know, some people's fears. But the point is, if you overdid it early around decision, you know, you go around the mountain of decision. I'm still trying to decide, what should I do this? What should I do the other? Should I do that? And then you be there. And then you inquire from so and so. Then you inquire from the other one. Then you inquire from this one. Inquire from that one. Like, can you use this? Because in this end time, just make up your mind and move. Praise the Lord. If you made a mistake, it will be corrected even by God. Just make up your mind and move. Praise the Lord. Now you see, Saul, he thought he had won an election and the people were important. Then God says, I've stolen the thing away from you and I've taken it away. And now if you do not want to ever get into that, you understand that everything you get is deployment. Praise the Lord. Everything you get is what? Deployment. And it has to come with a purpose. I told you all, go to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. Non-hereditary kings, people who became kings when their father wasn't a king. It is so clear, this is the purpose. Now Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophet and said to him, get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him in an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head. And say, thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and do not delay. Verse 4. So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he arrived there, where the captains of the army sitting, and he said, I have a message for you, commander. Jehu said, for which one of us? And he said, for you, commander. Verse 6. Then he arose and went into the house and he poured the oil on his head and says, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over Israel, over the people of the Lord over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab. Now, this is the reason. I'm giving it to you. This is the assignment. If you don't do it, I'll take it away from you. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. Go ahead, verse 8. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Now, here is somebody who was just a commander in the army. He wasn't royalty. He wasn't a son of the king. But God decided, now I'm going to change the lineage, and I'm going to anoint somebody. But I'm anointing for a reason. Now, here, if you find yourself in a place like that, and you lose sight of why you are there, you lose it. Now, people who are deployed have in their consciousness at all times, why am I in this place? Why have I been put in this place? What influence can I have in this place for the kingdom? How can I advance the cause of the kingdom? And it is always in their heart, even if they are working and, you know, getting salary and all that. It's in the back of their mind, how am I supposed to do this? Now, people usually, you arrive, become king, and then they say, then you say, now I'm king. And then you forget there is a reason why. I made you king for these reasons, for the above reasons. Now, when you actually go and you establish your throne by actually doing those things for which you were put there. Now, that's the difference between somebody who is employed and deployed. They always have in their conscious mind, why am I here? I am here for a reason. God has made me king because he wants me to go and destroy the house of Jezebel. So you go and destroy them without any mercy. Okay? Now, Saul went and God told him, go and kill Agag, the king of the Amalekites. Then he did not do it. He brought him and brought him as prisoner. And all that is because he was insecure. You know, these people who are insecure want. So you want to capture a king and you keep him there so that you can see him. So that you have a king there. You see? Hey, that one, I sorted him. Now he's there. And God said, kill him. So now when Samuel came and told him God has rejected you as king. 1 Samuel 16. When he came and told him God has rejected you as king. Then he found Agag there. Then he said, didn't the Lord tell you to kill this man? Then Samuel is the one who caught the sword and killed him. The prophet. It was nice being a prophet those days. Somebody just put out the sword. And the Bible says he killed him before the Lord. praise the Lord. Glory to God. So now, that's the thing. The purpose. By the way, everything, purpose. If you understand that, you can get so many things that you would not even get. Now, some people even don't have jobs. Because they don't understand even when you get a job, God has a purpose for it. Okay? You read Ephesians 4:28. So he says, Ephesians 4:28 says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with working with his hands what is good. In other words, let him get a job. Amen? Then he goes on to say, that he may have something to give him who is in need. Now, how many of you go to apply for a job and say, I don't have what to give people who I need. God, give me this job so that I can have what to give people I need. I can guarantee if you go with that mindset, you will get the job. Because you've understood what it means to be deployed. Even to just help the needy. So you go to ask for a job and it's all about you. Because you want to be employed. But then somebody else goes and says, no, okay, I want to be employed, but I can be deployed. And he says that, let him work who stole still no longer. Rather, let him work with his hands. Then you say, God, I would want to work with my hands. But right now I have no job. But if you give me the job, that I may help those who I need. Now, when you add that I may, then you've understood purpose. And I can guarantee you'll get the job. Because now suddenly, you've made it of the interest of the kingdom that you have that job, not just yourself. You see, there's selfishness which can creep into the church and people don't understand that God, as far as God is concerned, this is a whole thing. It's about everybody. It's not just about you. Amen? It's not just about you. So now, you get to a job He says here that he may have something to give those who are in need. Then somebody comes who is in need and you have the money because you have a job and you don't. Then you've forgotten your purpose. Praise the Lord. Eh. Then you start worrying about job security. If you did this, you'd never worry about job security. Because God would secure your job himself. Praise the Lord. Because you are accomplishing the purpose. The purpose. Now that's how an end-time believer thinks. Okay? And now you go there and say, Lord, I do not want you to replace me. I don't want to be replaced. Because that is sad. When you are called for something and you know you have it, you're supposed to do it. And then you refuse, and you are not taking the line of God. Because somehow you're sharper than him, you want to first do this, you want to first do that. Then said, let me first go for a master's degree. Then he says, okay, I'll give you that. Then you go for a master's degree and you come back. Then you have another excuse. Then he says, okay, it's okay. Now I'll find somebody else to do it. Praise the Lord. And he does that to everybody, man. Like, he just wakes you up. Then you wake up the next day and somebody is doing exactly what God was calling you to do. And he's successful. And you feel sad. And you start hating them. And actually you hate them. Amen? You hate them. You become bitter. You become what? All because you were supposed to do it. And you didn't do it. And I've seen that a lot. Even, by the way, let me tell you. If the mindset of deployment was even among us men of God, why would I be concerned about what another man of God is doing? I'm not deployed in this area. Like, I have my purpose. I am concerned about whether I'm doing what God called me to do. Like, that's what I think about all the time. How am I doing vis-a-vis what God called me to do? How am I scoring? If God was to issue a scorecard on my... how am I doing? And now that occupies you. So you have no time to think about this other person did this, this other person did this, and so on. But then also the other reason why people miss out on what? And are going to miss out, some of them, on this glorious end time. And will be rejected. You see, Saul was rejected. The process of rejection is almost, outlined. What was an urgent thing ceases to be urgent in you. Then the next thing, you cease to get promptings. Then the next thing, you even cease altogether. Go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3. He says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And there was no widespread revelation. Eli was the priest or the prophet. The person who was supposed to be the mediator between God and Israel at the time. And the word of God was rare in those days. And there was no widespread revelation. So, because the person who was supposed to give it, let's go ahead to the next verse. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place. Okay? Now, there are so many things it puts here. Just take a note of this. While Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see. Now, this is both in actual sense and figurative. When the prophet can't see, or the priest, and his eyes have grown dim. Now, of course, you are talking about the eyes dim. Actual eyes dim, but then that was also figurative of why there's no widespread revelation, because the person who is supposed to give it, his eyes have dimmed in, so he cannot give it. So Eli's eyes are dim. He's old. Okay. Old was not an issue, but his eyes. Verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now listen to that. Go to Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13. Leviticus 6:13. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. That is the commandment of God. And he said elsewhere, throughout all your generations, He says, not a single time shall the fire around the tabernacle go out. They would even put people whose work was to cut the, what do they call it? The wicks. Eh? Trim them. And add oil. And that's your work. Just to cut. So to make sure that the fire never goes out. Keep on adding oil. That was a commandment of God. And it says, throughout all your generations. Because it was symbolic of the presence of God. But now, go back to 1 Samuel. Now, of course, later, as people depart from the ways of God, then now at night, when you're going to sleep, what's the point in keeping the fire? When we are all going to sleep. So now you even switch it off. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle, I want to conceptualize those words. The lamp of God going out in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Now, and you know, so go back to verse 2. He says, and it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, he had lost vision. Go ahead. First of all, let's start from verse 1. There's something I want to show you here, progression. Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now there's a reason why. So he goes on to explain. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, when his eyes had gone so dim that he could not see. Okay? Verse 3. And before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, it is not supposed to go out at any time. And while Samuel was lying down, okay, go ahead, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. You know the story. But now here is my point. Eli is about to be replaced. Why? His eyes have become dim. He's not seeing. The tabernacle goes off at night because he reasoned it out. That at night we are going to sleep. What's the point in having a fire burning? But the commandment was keep the fire burning. So now here what we see here is the replacement of Eli. Now when God spoke to Samuel this time, he was telling him what he's going to do to Eli. So that was the end of God speaking to Eli, and now God was speaking to Samuel, okay, who was his protege. And now that's how he's replaced. But now I'll tell you this. There are people even in our midst who never get to a place where you normalize not hearing from God. And you spend 2 weeks without dreaming, a month without dreaming, because that's the basic, okay? Because dreams will show you so many things. So you sleep, you don't dream. You just know. And then you wake up. And then you sleep again and you don't do nothing. And then you have no sense of anything that shows that you live in a prophetic age. Or I dreamt about this and now I'm seeing it. Now, some of those things that might not have great significance. But when you're starting moving in this realm, you wake up to something, dreaming something, then you... I remember one time I woke up in the morning and I was in my, like, just in that moment when you wake up, I'm with some minister who was a minister of finance at the time. Not that it meant anything, but it's just my spirit showing me. Then I woke up and I went to Serena, Kampala Serena, and she was there. Now that was all the time. All the time. Amen. So now that shows that you are in connection with the other realm. Like you can't just be a normal, like you're like as if you're an atheist. Like there is nothing that is supernatural about you. You're just there. You see? Eh? You're just there, your flesh and blood. Like how can that how do you even normalize a situation like that? It's not normal. And by the way, if you have not been like that before, and suddenly you wake up and you're not having those connections. You're under attack. That is when you're under attack. You're not under attack when you start seeing the attack. No. The attack comes long before you see it. It comes there. Because you'd wake up, you wake up to a scripture. And that used to happen to me a lot of times, you know. I wake up to a scripture. Still does sometimes. And then you open the Bible and then you read the scripture. Then God is communicating something to you. Amen. Or he tells you one word. Just one word. And you go and search the scriptures and you get it. Like I remember one time I was traveling and he told me just linen ephod. And I had it just in the plane, linen ephod. So I went and started studying linen ephod. And I got to know what the Lord wanted me to know by that. I think at some stage I even thought about it. Now, if you let that thing get out of your life, you're under attack. And you'll see what will happen at some stage later on. When you run broke in your pockets, it's not when you're under attack. Usually, if you're moving in that prophetic realm, your dreams, you'll have something which shows you that your finances are under attack before it happens. If you wait for it to happen, you'll have to wait a long time for it to come back. But if in the spirit you see it ahead of time, you can stop it from happening. And that's how people stay on the cutting edge all the time. So you never, like, you don't go back down. Because when something would have happened, you dream about it before it. Now, that's when it's actually happening in the spirit. Now, when you learn that before something happens outwards, it has already happened in the spirit. Now, when it happens in the spirit, when somebody enters your space in the spirit, and you get some sort of premonition or a dream or something, and by the way, don't take that. Don't just say, I just dreamt this. I dreamt when I'd lost my job. I dreamt when my auntie had died. Like, how do you just dream when your auntie has died? Yet she's healthy. Now, if you don't understand that, you can change all these things by just paying attention to that. I dreamt this, then you sort it before it happens. And not just dreams, by the way. There are so many other ways, but we'll start with dreams. You feel an urge to do something. You just wake up one day and you feel an urge to do something. I remember one day I felt, it was that Easter weekend, and I felt an urge, like I had to call somebody whom I knew, some lady who had given birth with an irresponsible man. And she was there haggling with her what? With her baby. So I'm driving away from a friend's place. We've been eating some muchomo and what? Life is good. Then suddenly, she crosses my mind, Sue, and she can't leave my mind. Like, I just know something. So I get on the phone and call her. So I tell her, how are you? What? She said, I'm fine, but man, things are tight. I'm here at home. I'm stuck. I have no money. My child is hungry. I am hungry. I am really, really in a tight spot. So I said, okay, I'm going to send you money. And I did. I parked at the roadside. That's how urgent it was. Now, if you do not have any such in your life, like, what are you? Are you an atheist? You go and study science. There are the people who live a life like that, where nothing happens. Everything comes and takes you by surprise. There is no, you know, foresight in anything. You cannot get some sense of something. Now, that's when you know you're like, your eyes are dimming. You're about to be replaced. You're like Eddie. Amen? Your eyes are dimming. The lamp in your tabernacle is about to go out. You're sleeping like Eddie. Eddie was sleeping. His eyes were what? Were dim. The lamp in the tabernacle was just about to go out. It wasn't yet out. Then that's when God says, now it's time for you to be replaced. And he calls Samuel. And then he gives Samuel judgment for Eddie. Now that's like serious. You know, you're raising this guy, young boy. Start from verse 10. Verse 10. Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak for your servant, he has. Verse 11. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. Go ahead. In that day I will perform against Eddie. But Lord, you're telling me about my boss. He's the one who brought me up. He has been replaced. Now you're the one who is going to go and tell him, thus says the Lord. Yet the guy has been mentoring you. You say, I will perform against Eddie all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Go ahead. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of... Okay, it's a long thing. But eventually in the morning, Samuel comes and pretends as if nothing happened. Then Eddie says that, what did the Lord tell you? And he says, I told me nothing. Then says that, you're lying. Tell me the truth. What did he tell you? Then tell me, no, he told me this. And then he gave him a very, very, you know. Man, you can be replaced by someone whom you mentored. Praise the Lord. Not good. Somebody say not good. Don't allow your lamp to go out. Don't allow the light to go out. Don't allow your eyes to dim. Your eyes dimming is you walk and move like, you know, you're living your life like a scientist. Amen? Everything has to first come and reach you before you acknowledge it, before you see it. You're living your life by sight, purely by sight. There is no faith. It's just sight. There is no revelation. There's no widespread revelation. Praise the Lord. But now in these end times, God is going to lead people to do weird things. Praise the Lord. And they have to be, first of all, be able to be led. So if you had lost your signals, and by the way, when you lose the signals, people start dreaming when you've lost your phone. Some of you have dreamt when you lost your phone. True? Okay, maybe not. But you dream when you lose your phone. And that shows you've lost signal. You're cut off. Okay, not all the time, but usually that's what it means. I don't know, I woke up, I don't know, I lost my phone, and I woke up and my phone was there. Now what is that? It seems they are going to steal my phone. No. That might not be it. You might have lost touch with what? Because when you are in the army of God, when you're deployed, you have to be constantly connected to where the command comes from. Constantly. And you have to know that. And you see, the church has tried to normalize methodology, all these ways to achieve this and that. But you see, as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Praise the Lord. And anything that seeks to take away from you the leading of God individually, he can maybe use somebody to tell you something once in a while, but he wants to be the one to be in control of that, to communicate to you personally. Amen? And now when the enemy comes, like he wants to first cut that off. Now there's this guy who was this fake prophet. Who had jaws like a crocodile. Now, he's telling everybody, God said this, God said that. God is like, he wants to be in touch with you. Like, you can't be in a position where somebody is permanently telling you, now God has said this, now God has said, what about me? Am I not a child of God? Imagine if you had a parent who always gives you instructions through somebody else, through a third party. Your brother, go and tell your sister to do this. But I'm also his daughter. Why can't he tell me himself? Go and tell all the time. Now, you know, immediately that happens, you know it's fake. The Holy Spirit wants to be in control with you one-on-one, you understand? It is so important for him to be in, like, communicating to you in your small way, whatever level you are at. Then someone says, now I saw this, now I saw the other, then I saw this, I saw this. And now you see, it can come as, if it finds you and you actually get carried away by it, and you know, and you don't know that, first of all, usually that is fake. Because there are things the Lord will speak through somebody else, and there are things he wants to tell you himself. If you will not be ready to listen to them, he will not tell them to anybody else. Because remember what the scripture says. Okay? We are the bride of Christ. There are certain things you cannot send somebody to go and tell your wife. You have to tell her yourself. Isn't it? The people who are not married are the ones who are saying yes. And those who are married are quiet. So I just can't get it. But the point is, like, you can't have somebody, like, once in a while, you can call and tell somebody, hey, tell my wife to do this. But imagine now if that became the normal thing. I could tell my wife to do this. Yeah, tell her also to do this. Tell her to, hey, what sort of relationship do we have? Praise the Lord. Now, just as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, God wants, like, to be completely in control of that, of the thing, how he's handling you. And you walk together like you know each other. And like he's the one encouraging you. Let me tell you, when you hear something from God direct, It is never the same as something which you've heard from somebody. Never. Praise the Lord. It can never equal to what, when God has spoken to you himself. First of all, it comes with a certain level of faith to accomplish. It's different for me coming and teaching you. When God speaks it to you, it comes with all the faith that is necessary to accomplish it. Like I remember that time when the Lord told me, I wish you'd learn how to trust me. When I was running all over the place looking for rent. And then I went and approached some man to give me rent and he refused. He didn't refuse. I wish he had. But he said, yeah, called me on Monday. Monday was my deadline. But because I knew this man to be a serious person, I said, yeah. I waited on Monday. I met him somewhere and I looked at him. He looked at me and I realized he was not going to give it to me. So I didn't even raise the subject. But now that was the deadline day. And apparently after that, they were going to call for me court bailiffs. So I went home, and I was in a very, very low state. I was very low. I was discouraged. I was really, really in a bad place. I said, now, God, what's up? Then he spoke to me and told me, I wish you'd learn how to trust me the way you trust men. Then he said, when that man promised to give you money, you even enjoyed your weekend because you trusted that he was going to give it to you on a Monday. But now he has messed you up. But when it comes to me, even when you try to trust me, you have to, you know what they say, this is my eye of town say, that like, you know, atumo mujega sigara iya. So, like, you're not confident that he's going to do it. So some of you treat God as if he's like that. Like you're trusting him, but you have to put have something on the side. Okay? So you say, I'm trusting God, but let me call somebody and see if he can give me something. And now you make him like as if he's a mujig. So like, osigaro yia. Now, when he said those things, I wish you'd learn how to trust me. Mother, like the words came like a hammer on me. Then I said, you know what? I'm going to trust you. And I said that the scripture says nobody trusted in you and was put to shame. So I'm also not going to be put to shame. But of course I was talking, but deep inside, the chick had promised to call for me, Agatari Konfufu, my landlady. Like some people are dramatic. Like why do you need Agatari Konfufu to evict me from your house? Can't you just evict me quietly? But now, like she had really said she's going to call for me, Agatari Konfufu. So now that was what was going through my head all through that time. But then I said, you know what? People trusted God when they were going to die. Okay? This is just rent. I'm not going to shake. I'm not going to shake. Now, because those words remained in me, I wish you would trust me. Like those words, like when God, almost as if they reverberate in your mind. Like in you, I wish you would trust me. So every time when I would be tempted not to trust, then I remember, I wish you would trust me. Then I say, okay, I'll trust. The first miracle that happened, the lady who had said she's coming with a Katari Konfu on Monday, she did not call me that whole week. So that's the first miracle that happened. I went home every time expecting to find cameras. I found nothing but the house. And I would enter and sleep. Then the weekend came. Now, by that time, I'd forgotten. I was even behaving as if the house is mine. Then on Tuesday, the following week, I got the money. Then I called her and said, I got your rent. They said, hey, what of it? I said, yes. I said, okay, let me send somebody for it. Now she was behaving as if it was a small thing. Yet she had put me on like as if I'd even interrupted her piece. Hey, madam, how are you? Hey, sending as if you hey, what's Fujas on? Carry, can't see the comment. Then hang up. Why weren't you that cool when I was what? By the way, man, no wonder God is telling us about ownership. We should move away from these landlords. Amen? One man, they can put people on whom? You're trying to believe God. The day you're trying to believe God, the first person that will call you will be your landlord. That's the truth. Just to check if you are on steady. Because that's the thing that touches you. Either your student, school, landlord, or somebody. Somebody who you cannot ignore. Praise the Lord. But the scripture says whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. It says actually trust in him. Now,
So what I was saying is this, as we come to our end, in this end time, these glorious days that we are entering in right now, when God, as I told you, when you fall there, you slipped here. Okay? When you sleep here, and this is where the ground is slippery, usually you try to stay up, until you might fall some distance away. Now, don't look at where you fell, look at where you slipped. That is when you stopped getting communication from the headquarters. You're no longer having any word from God, no dreams, what? That is dangerous. Very, very, and don't normalize it. It is dangerous. Actually, you have to become very agitated, like very anxious, if a period goes by and you're hearing nothing. You imagine if you came home and your husband doesn't say anything to you for 1 week. He's just looking at you. Now we are the bride of Christ. We have to communicate. Amen? All the time. Praise the Lord. All the time. Glory to God. Now, when the communication goes away, like, and now there's some guy who told me, this Pastor Regonosi, there's somebody here in this city. There's some guy who has a fellowship here. What? In town. Some apostle. But fake guy. He's even the one who sent this fake prophet who I was talking about. He's the one. So somebody came and told me, I used to have very powerful dreams, very, very powerful dreams. And this is a man of God who has been in ministry for so long, longer than me. He's actually the one who led me to the altar to get born again. In 1992, before you were born. Some of you. But as you were born, you're just there pretending. Praise the Lord. Now, and he told me he went and held that man's hand like this. That was the end of his dreams. And I know people who go there, they lose all their dreams. And then they remain with what? Some form. I want you to know that the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifice in the days of Eli remained even when the glory had departed. Okay? Saul remained being king. He was king for 40 years, even after God had rejected him. But he was king. But the decision had been made. And so many things like that happened. So, when you go some place and used to be somebody who was in touch with the spirit realm, one way or the other, you know, you, like God, let me tell you, it is so important to God to give him, be in touch with his people, that he would even do it when you are the baby, you're a baby, baby, baby. He will find a way, you'll open the Bible and what he's telling you is there. It happened to me when I was just born again in some place there where there was some kind of disco at some school. That's the boys' school, and you know. So babes had come around, and guys who are not saved were going to dance with babes. And me, I was saved. And I knew if I went there, people would say that, you guys, we thought you were saved. So now I was in trouble. So I was there, and man. So I went, and then now for those who were saved, for us, we had the night prayer. And man, like the comparison was not there. Then you're in the night prayer, you're hearing music the other side. And then they say, play some of the songs you like, and then you're even here shaking. But so your body is here, but you're what? Everything else, but your body is the other side. So now when I realized things were tight, I was 19. When I realized things were tight, I was honestly not in this night prayer, but I was seeing people who were comfortable opening scriptures, and I'm just looking at the guys, saying, but you guys, do you know what we are missing the other side? But for them, they seemed comfortable. But me, I was totally not comfortable. Then I'd also seen the bus which brought the babes. And man, things were going through my mind. So I was, okay, I was in really serious trouble. Now, by the way, I could have made a decision that time. Very easily, by the way. Very, very easily. So when I left the night prayer. You know the things which affect young people? Like, so when I left the night prayer, I decided I could not deceive myself that I am at the night prayer. So I said, rather than being here, when my spirit is the other side, let me just go and sleep. So I went to the dome. to sleep. Now, when I arrived there, I sat there. I was very sad. I started questioning. For the first time, I questioned, should I have gotten born again? What happens if I don't get born again? Like, so I was there and actually thinking so many things, and I was in total turmoil. Then my Bible was right in front of me. And then I just opened it once, bam, and my eyes fell on Proverbs 23, verse 16 and 17, or 17 and 18, Proverbs 23, verse 7. You know, it's all these years later, I still remember it. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day long. Verse 18. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut out. If Jesus had come and spoken to me in person, it would not have been any more decisive than that. I knew God had spoken to me. I just opened the Bible, and my eyes went straight to those verses. Do not let your heart envy sinners. And that man, when I read that scripture, I closed the Bible and said, that is it. I am locally packed last. Packer what? Packer rapture. But it was very, 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 very powerful. Like, very powerful. It has only ever happened to me once like that, after that. And also that was just as powerful. It was, and actually the other day, that scripture was read at Zoe. That was in 2001. When, you know the story. I was supposed to go with some friends to Jinja, and then they left me, and then they went and had an accident, and all of them died in that accident. So these are people who were my friends. One of them was not just my workmate, he was my friend. We used to hang out together, so many things. And the honest truth is, there is no way I would have been what I am if that guy was alive. Because I really looked up to him, and he was taking me in a very weird direction. And he could have taken me in any direction he wanted, by the way. And it was so clear that he had the control over me, because he was a good person. And when I entered media, he's the one who, you know, nurtured me and so on. And I was so unsure of myself. I learned so many things from him. So I held him in that high esteem. Now, there is no way I could have what? Stood and done what God had called me to do if that guy was alive. Because you would I would be following his spirit, not the spirit of God. Or following him, rather. Then that's when he showed me this scripture. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. I just reached home. I was sad, very sad. I'd just come from burying him and so on. And I was sad. I was questioning everything. Really, that was 2001. And I was shaken. Every part of me was shaken. Then I opened the Bible just like that. And I landed on this scripture. First, go to verse 3. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Verse 4. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I gave men for you and people for your life. Like, if Jesus had come and spoken himself in person to me, it wouldn't have been any more powerful. Because I knew this was God telling me that I gave men for your life. It was so clear. And I cried for almost the whole night. And he said, because I honored you, your life was precious in my sight. That's because I was going to die. I was going to die. There's no way. And I was coming from home. I used to stay somewhere in Kamoch on Manda Road. And I told that gentleman who was driving, my friend, wait for me, I've arrived. They were setting off from Industrial Area where New Vision is. And I'd already reached Airstrip. So I was less than 5 minutes. I was on a board. He refused. So I arrived. He said, we have set off. I said, where are you? He said, Sheru Nakawa. You know where Sheru Nakawa is? I was there on Jinja Road. I told him, just park at the roadside and I come and find you. It would have taken me just go through the valley and up to Nakawa. It wouldn't have taken me more than 3 minutes. He refused. Then they went and died. Then I'm so shaken. It hit me so bad, because I realized, man, this life, anything that you don't do for God, you always say. Because this was somebody who was in the peak of his life. I remember went and had all this, you know, funeral service at All Saints. Everybody is there. And then after us went to their father's home. Then I stood there and looked at him in the casket. And I looked, man, I said, now this is how it ends. The guy was 26, young, in court. Like I said, so it all comes to this. By the way, that's when I realized that everything I do is for eternity. Because this life is so fake. You understand? Eh? Unless you're using it to do the will of God. It's so fake and so fleeting and so deceptive. And you can think you're all that, but you ain't. Unless you have the Spirit of God and you're doing His will. I can't tell you how I felt when I looked at that casket. And I saw this guy who, just a short while ago, the previous night we had been watching football, celebrating what? Then he's there, the casket. That wasn't even the worst part. The worst part was where we went to bury him. Somewhere in some villages, somewhere, then you go. Then they go in Vitoke, those sides. Then you say, somebody was great, now you've left. Then we buried him in the Vitoke and we all jumped in our cars and came back to Kampala. End of story. Man, that can be so humiliating. Like you realize that, man, life, like it is so. Now, I remember a time I said, you know what? I'm going to use my life to honor God. Because it's the only thing that matters. So, now when I was still there, of course still a bit shaken, then I read these scriptures. Since you are precious in my sight, you have been honored. I have loved you, therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Go to verse 5. No. First start from verse 1. Because, so he says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Verse 2. When you pass through, you know what I'm saying. Eh? I just opened the Bible and those were the words which were in me. And I cried the whole night because I knew God had spared me. I knew I was supposed to be dead. And I knew I was going to be alive for a reason. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now when the other day prophet read those scriptures, I started crying again because I remembered that day. Because God told me, I spared you for it because your life was precious in my eyes. I looked at the version I read which was saying that because your life was precious in my eyes, I honored you and what? And he was talking to me direct. Praise the Lord. Anyway, that was all Nyongeza. But now, I'll tell you this. When you see something happening big, you just know in the spirit it happened before. Amen? And it's celebrated outward and comes outward, whether negative or positive, at some stage. So always be cognizant of the fact that everything that you're going to, every victory you're going to celebrate, something happened before in the spirit and takes a while to come out. For instance, Trump's victory. Okay? Now, facts that the entirety of the demonic world has been thrown in total confusion just by him coming. Now, you see, it was said somewhere. So you try to kill him, you can't kill him. You try to do this, you can't do that. You try to do this, you can't do it. And now the other day I was seeing that guy called Akenanozi. Most of you know him, called Herari. What's his other name? Yavar Herari. Some very, very wicked man works for the World Economic Forum. He said if Trump gets elected, that's the end of the new world order. Now, I'll tell you this. If he hadn't gotten elected, you know, some people here in Uganda think that now the world has become one for them and for us. Amen? So what happens in America affects us here also. You see, eh? Because this is a battle of kingdoms. It's not just nations. It's a battle of kingdoms. The people from the kingdom of darkness were ready for him to fail, and then you would see darkness, which would make COVID look like Sunday school. Like the sort of tyranny, the sort of control that would make that time, those lockdowns, look like you're, you know, like freedom in comparison. I'm telling you the truth. First of all, they had started. I'm here in Uganda. There's what they call the central bank digital currency, which they already been trying. It has already been tried by Bank of Uganda and tested here in Bank of Uganda. And they have been having seminars in Mauritius where they are preparing to roll it out. The only thing standing in their way was Donald Trump. We have to wait for the American election. Now, all of them have been thrown aside. All of them. You know, the world is run on deception. So now the whole deceived world, the world of darkness, is in total disarray. By the way, you have no idea. They are in complete total disarray. But what I'm trying to tell you is that for it to happen here, that they go, they try to cheat, they fail. Then for some reason, God touches the hearts of some people like Elon Musk to come, and others, people who are not necessarily in the kingdom of light, but who God has touched to come because they are needed in this thing. So they come, they join. And now the forces of darkness, by the way, let me tell you, they tried everything they could. But in the spirit had already been sorted. And they couldn't. I was following the election and seeing how they were trying to cheat. The man, those guys cheat. You think we cheat here? Those guys cheat. They can cheat. Because what happens is that there are these states where the other witch has to win. That lady who may beat. And what the so-called swing states, 7 of them. Then the machines fail here. The machines fail here. Then we cannot what? Then and they were trying to, but this time, because of that, Elon Musk went and got 200,000 poll watchers in all those states who were there with lawyers and what. You try to mess up, they sue you. And you see, they sue you personally. And you see, those people fear being sued personally because they will bankrupt you with legal fees. So when somebody says, I'm going to sue you, they run. Because this man who is suing you is on Elon Musk's billions. For you, you are going to have to pay legal fees. Okay? So now when those Democrats who are there trying to cheat, say, we're going to sue you, then say, okay, it's okay. So they try to cheat. Just know they try to cheat. And there is a way it was, I saw the way it unfolded, and I knew that this was just the hand of God. And now they are being put in complete destruction. Now seeing Europe, those servants of the devil, Emmanuel Macron, okay? The guy of Canada, Justin Trudeau, the Australians, those who had taken their countries to the kingdom of darkness, all of them are trembling like this. Even Hamas said now they want a ceasefire. Before even the man takes office. Then the Houthis also said they want a ceasefire. Then Ukraine says now they want to talk with Russia. Then now everybody is aligning themselves, putting themselves in order because something else. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is this, that this is victory for our kingdom. Amen. And do not take it for granted. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the beginning. That's why I'm saying this is the beginning of the glorious times of this end time. And do not take it for granted. You know that you have a part to play in all of this. That's why I've been teaching you this. You have to know that you're deployed to do a work. And you're representing a kingdom. It's not just about you. It's not just about earning a living. You see, that's the biggest problem in the church. People want to earn a living. And God says, I can deploy you, you will earn a living, but you will do something for the kingdom, which has an impact in this world and the world hereafter. Amen? So now everybody organizing themselves, all the people who are pushing for war, organizing themselves. And you can see, let me tell you, in 2016 when he won, they had fight in them. Because they didn't realize that something had changed. But now, this time, they know, because those are spiritual people. Don't think they are not spiritual people. Don't think people like Kamala, she's a witch. Like all those people, Obama and all that. They are all deeply demonic people. Don't think they don't know that they are being defeated. And now they know that it happened in the spirit, so they know that there's nothing they can do. Amen? So now there are some people who are not. Now how do I know somebody is not spiritual? Those who are coming out trying to put up resistance. All the others are taken off for dear life. Okay? 2016, Hillary Clinton was there saying they cheated, now she's quiet. When the winds have shifted in the spirit and something happens, now they shifted a long time ago, by the way, they shifted in around 2020, I think. But when it comes and is there, then you see people who are spiritual know that there's no way back. We've been beaten. And they have been beaten, by the way. They have been beaten properly. And so now the World Health Organization treaty, all the planned epidemics, pandemics. The World Health Organization, what? Pandemic treaty. All the planned pandemics. Simanyi Mankepok, all of them have been flushed out. All of them. Like they had planned properly. Now Mankepox, now whatever pox. Now whichever. Like there were always going to be so many poxes. And like they keep on squeezing tyranny. But now there's one thing standing in their way. America. Because they need America's resources to do all those things. Those countries don't have the money. They use America's resources to spread homosexuality, to do what, all those things. Praise the Lord. You see how other countries here are going to fall in line, even our own country. Then you see how Israel is going to change there. Everybody was up against Israel, now all of them are in line. Even before the man takes office. Praise the Lord. all these things, by the tyranny that was going to come upon us, I prayed for that thing every day for 2 straight weeks, because I knew what it means for us, and even for me individually. Amen? Now, Kenya, these countries which have been going the other direction, Kenya, going well. Now, do you know that the other day, even before the election, Netherlands indicted Bill Gates, and now there's an arrest warrant for him in Netherlands. And now, 5 states in America are suing Pfizer for lying about their COVID vaccines. Like, their whole thing is crumbling. They're crumbling. You might not notice it, but you see, they had us boxed in. Take the vaccine, you're not going to do that. What? You can't fly, you can't do this, you can't. And people took the vaccine because they were boxed in. But now they are the ones who are being boxed in. Now, do you know Pfizer can be bankrupted by just those 5 states led by Kansas in America? Just going, suing them, and then putting the damage, which they can prove was caused by their vaccines, on them. Bam, they go down. Bill Gates, now he can't go into Netherlands, they would arrest him. But as long as he had America on his side, it was difficult for them to arrest him. But now with Trump, he's not sure he's going to have America on his side with his his death thing. And it's like a real battle, because Europe had said they are going to block Twitter because of Elon Musk. Do you think they can do it now? They can't. Because Elon Musk has America behind him. A state. And not just a state. America. So now, if he hadn't, and they even asked him before the election, that, do you know if Trump loses, you're finished? He said, yeah, I know. So he took a gamble bigger than what believers would take, because you're scared. And the gamble worked out. Now he's in total, they're enjoying life, those guys. They are talking as if they are Trump. But man, that man deserves it. Like, I don't know anybody who put his effort in. Okay, the others also, but you know, praise the Lord. Now, the time for us to be scared ended long time ago. The things we are going to do are all going to be powerful things, praise the Lord. As long as you stay connected to the source, glory to God. Don't lose out on God's direction. Always have a sense that God has to be directing me to do something. Never be comfortable living like a scientist. Like, you, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there is no direction from God. How are you living? Okay, even if you're a scientist, like who? Like Thomas. Don't be comfortable living what? Like I said, like you, there has to be. Now, when you keep those signals alive, you will be deployed by God. Because there is a lot of positions in this time now. Now, even for cowards who could not go ahead of others, now others have opened for you. So it's time for you to do what? To also go. As long as you understand what I've been telling you here about the difference between employment and deployment. Because if you go as an employee, you've lost it. Let's read one more scripture, then I end. Hebrews 11:22. Man, by the way, this is what's happening in the world right now. Man deserves like a cappuccino. Things are good, man. This guy is boxed us in. Boxed us in. We had to go and get fake COVID vaccine certificate. I got a fake one. Because I wanted to travel. And you go everywhere. Give you a vaccine. Like, they make your life hard. Like the devil. Man, you people, make sure you don't miss the rapture. Because the amount of tyranny that is going to be after the rapture. Like, COVID was just test run. Like a real test run that you see. You can't move here, you can't. Now, if that central bank digital currency had passed, what happens is all the money you have is on your phone. Okay? You have an app. The way you have, let's say like Momo. But it's by not by MTN, but by central bank. Now, they determine what you buy and what you do not buy. Okay? They can put a limit, a cap on what you buy. And now, it's controlled directly from the central bank. That's what they have been putting the systems in place. Because right now, if you go and use your debit card or credit card to buy, there is a note which is put to take the money off your account and then to credit the money on the account, let's say, of the supermarket where you bought. But it is reconciled at the end of the day. At the end of the day is when it is implemented, then, you know, it's all reconciled and everything. So this money went from here to these people, went to this thing and so on. Now, the central biblical currency bypasses the banks, the individual banks. Because now that is all about individual banks. If the supermarket you're buying from banks, let's say, in Stanbic, and you take their a card from, let's say, Standard Chartered, they have to synchronize at the end of the day, the two banks, but it's just recorded as some note. Then at the end of the day, the banks say, you have some money that is ours, bring it here because somebody who was carrying your card bought something and so on. Now here, it is all controlled centrally from the central bank. And so they can determine, number one, how much you spend, number two, on what you spend, number three, where you spend. So now, like what was happening during lockdowns, or let's say like the climate change things, which are also going to collapse, okay, with Trump. Now, what was happening here during COVID or climate change, if they say now we are going to limit the amount of fossil fuels or fuel that you put in your car, so they say everyone is limited to a maximum of 300,000 shillings of fuel in your car. Now, when you go to the petrol station, you can't, there's no cash. You have to pay with your, that, you know, CBDC. And if you have exceeded the 300,000, you cannot buy fuel because your monthly cap is over. So you have to wait until next month before you're allowed to buy more fuel. You see how it's so easy. The easiest way to control people is through money. And that's what that whole thing of you shall not be able to buy or sell unless bow down to the mark of the beast. Because you control. Now also, it can also control where you buy. For instance, during lockdowns, they said you cannot leave this jurisdiction or you cannot leave, let's say, 3 miles from where you stay. So you have to do everything within 3 miles. They were planning that, by the way. And not far away. All these things would be implemented by 2026, 2027. 15-minute cities. You cannot move anywhere from further than 15 minutes from where you stay. Stay there. What do you want outside? Be there. So, now what they do is, if they say there is a lockdown, you cannot leave Kampala. Now, previously, they have to put soldiers on the roads blocking people from leaving Kampala. Now, they don't. They just lock your CBDC to not be able to function outside Kampala jurisdiction. So if you go to Masaka, you can't even buy a meal because your card is, your thing on the phone is non-functional there. If you run out of fuel there, you're cooked because you cannot buy fuel there. You see what I'm saying? And they had put it in place. They were ready to roll it out. Ready to roll it out. Now, some of you think this was something which just happened there. No, it is a kingdom thing. Because that level of tyranny was going to be, I'm telling you what we suffered in COVID, you'd long for the days of COVID. Praise the Lord. The devil doesn't want freedom, and the devil wants tyranny. And now those know that now they would come with their climate change. You cannot buy this, you cannot buy that, you cannot buy the other, you cannot run. And then they institute things. And as long as they have all your money, you have no choice. They can even say, no, coffee is not good for your health. You can only take 10 cups of coffee in a week. Praise the Lord. That's the point at which I would rebel. Anyway, so now, as we think about being deployed, I want you to just think about this. This is not a time like any other. This is not those other times. This is a very special time. And you have to think accordingly. Now, end with this. Go to verse 32. 32. Hebrews 7, 32. 32, I think. Okay. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also of David and Samuel and the prophets. Okay? Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, and obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, go ahead, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness we are made strong. Now I want you to understand this. All these people are not any different from you. He says out of weakness they were made strong. Now because when you are attempting to do something big, there's always that thing of, you know, a fear in you, which is normal. And now he's saying here that these people, out of weakness, they were made strong and became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of aliens. Out of what? Out of what? Now, you see that's how God turns the whole system around. Because in the kingdom of the other kingdom, you have to show strength. But here you come and say, no, I'm weak, but I'm going to put you guys to flight. Like Gideon, like all the others whom he's mentioned. You're scared, but you won't put the others to flight. Praise the Lord. Now that is us. Amen? That's who? So when you go there and you do your things with the Spirit of God and it tells you to do some powerful things, remember that Gideon and Barak and who and David, out of weakness. Amen? They were not special people. They were not strong people. They were like you and me. But out of weakness, they were made strong. That scripture is just so powerful for this time. Out of weakness, they were made what? Strong. They just stepped out and said, God is with me. I'm going out of weakness. And I don't feel like I'm able, but it's okay. God is with me. And they became valiant in battle and turned to flight the armies of aliens by faith. By what? By what? Praise the Lord. By what? We are finished.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabba Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.